You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, Ross on Wye. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
So, yes, I bring you great news. Tiago was born on the 30th of March, same day as Carrie's birthday. And yes, so we'll never forget. Paula, Tiago are well at home, Elena as well. Elena, she was supposed to come with me this morning to give them a little break, but she said, no, I'm not leaving my brother behind. And I'm watching him and I'm helping. So she chose his outfit today. She helped to put to change the nappies. She disturbs a little bit more than helps sometimes. But let me tell you something. I already know more about God since he was born. Because sometimes we think that a child gives us help, joy. And let me tell you something. There's no greater joy for a father than seeing two children together. The joy of seeing children together is greater than the joy of seeing a child pleasing the father. I don't know if I can make myself explainable to you, but when I see Elena and Tiago together, that joy is much greater than any joy I ever felt with my child, my first child alone. That's the heart of the father. That's the heart of the father for the church. He has no greater joy. He didn't want a lonely child. He didn't want only Jesus. Don't you think that Jesus would give him a greater joy in heaven as his son? But he knew that having the joy of an only child was not his intention. His intention was to see the children together and say, that's the joy I want. That's the heart of the church. That's the heart of everything we do. It's the heart of those who understand that joy, when people get together, when children are together, that's what pleases the Father. That's why if I ask you, what is the song that the Father likes to listen? If I ask you, what is the worship that the Father likes to listen? Which song would you think will say, oh, Matt Redman or Hillsong, or I think it will be that one. Let me tell you something. The song that the father likes to listen is a song that the children sing together. That's the heart of the father. And I've been learning that since Tiago was born, because seeing them together, it's priceless. It reveals something of the heart of the father much beyond that my imagination could ever guess. I want to talk today quickly about Isaiah 61. I'm also going to read Ephesians 3 together. And by the way, it was a quick labor. Sorry, Britons who have been through a long labor. But I don't know what we Brazilians we have. Yeah. Some friends, they want to punch us. We are running away from them because some friends, they had like 3 days of labor. And Paula had an hour and a half. Yes. So it was really, yeah. So, yeah, please don't punch me. It's not my fault. But yeah, my hand's still painful from pressing my hand. But I'm okay. I'll survive. Because if you're a man, you know how painful it is. I think the closest idea for you woman to have any understanding is when men have a cold. Isn't it? Yes. I think that's the closest you can ever imagine how painful it is for a man to have a cold is when you go into labor. Yeah, I'll stop. Otherwise, I can see someone. Yeah, let me go back to the Bible. Yeah, that's what we came to do today. Yeah. So, yes, I want to invite you to open your Bible in Isaiah 61. So we are doing the series about Isaiah 61. And I want to read just the beginning, because it's pretty much what I am addressed to this morning. Here says like this: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. And Caris was preaching about it. It's not just any spirit. It's the Spirit of the amazing, difficult word to pronounce, Sovereign Lord. It's this Spirit that is upon me. because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And now that's just what I want to read with you. So once again, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And maybe you never thought a Brazilian would teach you some English classes. But I want to teach you some English classes today. Here it says like this, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because. Because it's a conjunction. Yes. And a conjunction that connect clauses. Yes, clauses is requires a verb, an action on it to be a clause. So you have over here, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. So because is a conjunction, he introduces, a word that introduces clauses of reason of or cause. So we have a sentence over here that says pretty much that something happened and it requires a connection to a reason. It requires a connection to a purpose. So let me tell you something from the beginning, and I could finish over here if I wanted. There's the only explanation that the Lord has anointed you is if you understand that it was connected, there was a conjunction, there was a explanation, there was a reason for that. He doesn't waste his anointing. He doesn't waste his portion. He doesn't, and he pour out his glory everywhere. But his anointing was poured out upon us because there's a reason. There is a purpose. And what is the purpose that you and me, we were called? We were called for the purpose to share good news. You and me, we were called for a purpose to share good news. And I want to talk quickly about my experience with good news. Because who doesn't like good news? We love good news. And it was interesting, and I want to share a little bit how Brazilians, they talk about, they deal with good news, and how Britons, they deal with good news. Talking about pregnancy. Because we find out here in the culture, the British culture, that when you're expecting, you don't tell anyone. Until you are 3 months, right? And in Brazil, that doesn't happen. Yeah, you find out you're expecting this, you go straight away telling your neighbors, you shout out, and you just, and it's interesting, I'm not saying which one is right and which one is wrong, I just want to get this example to talk a little about sharing the good news. Because when we found out that we were expecting Thiago, was the same weekend that we find out that Paula's grandmother in Brazil was being admitted to the hospital with COVID. And she was admitted in the hospital on Thursday, and she passed away on Sunday. And we were like, shall we give the good news? Shall we let them know that? Shall we let them grieve and process the pain and everything? And God told us straight away, no, give them the good news. Give them the good news. So we decided to tell them. So they were over there, and we told them on the Sunday when we heard that she has passed away. Later, some hours later, we told them the good news, and I kept that in my heart, because one day I went to ask a friend. They were expecting, and I said, look, why some people here in England, they don't share that they're expecting until 3 months? So, because the probability of losing is really high. So we don't want to, if we lose a baby or something, we don't want to go through the process of having to explain. And it's painful. And I understand that it's painful. I'm not judging over here at all. Please understand my heart. I'm not judging anything. But it made me think about sharing the good news brings us a responsibility that we don't control. We don't control. I can't control the result of sharing the good news. I don't know. But sharing the good news made me responsible for the news I'm sharing. because it commits my life to what I'm preaching. So when I say, look, I'm expecting, my wife's expecting, I am sharing to you something that I cannot take back anymore. That if I go through something good or if I go through something bad, I have the responsibility to maintain what I've shared. Because the words have come out of my mouth. So of course, it's much easier to not have this commitment. So I want, and I remember there was a couple, there is a couple from CLC. If you're listening, Richard and Janie, hello. Are you recording? Yes. So hello, Richard and Janie. So Janie, when they went to Brazil, they spent almost a year in Brazil with our church in Brazil. And I remember one of the things she said when she came back was that she was really impressed how Brazilians would cope, deal with the good news of pregnancy. And she said that most of the time, she was thinking about pregnancy and not telling the news because she was afraid. Afraid of telling the good news. Afraid of coping with the fact that what happens if I lose? And I remember I preached, one of my first preachings in Hereford was about this. I don't know what will be the result of the news I'm sharing. I don't know if after sharing some good news, I'll have to cope with pain. I don't know if I'll have to cope with sadness. But I know something, that if I share with you that we were expecting Thiago and God chose, I don't know why, to take him to heaven, I know that I prefer to go through that with you than by myself with my wife. Because sharing good news exposes, and I know that is a challenging word, but literally, it's almost like you see me with no clothes because you see who I am. When I share good news with you, when I'm sharing something with you, I'm making a connection with you in a way that you and me, there's no turning back anymore. And that's the purpose of the church. That's why, that's the reason why God has called you. God has called you for a purpose. And it is sharing the good news. And I want to open our Bibles in Ephesians 3 together. Because sharing, my friend, sharing good news. Do you know there is the father of truth and there is the father of lying. Do you know that? Devil can't create anything, but he is the father of lie. And sometimes there is a lie being told for the church in the UK that I hope that you stop believing on it from today. One of the things I heard a lot since I arrived here in this country that I love so much is that sharing the good news can be offensive. Because what if I go to a point where the person doesn't want to hear? And let me tell you something, you are not sharing a religion. When you go to someone and talk to someone about Jesus, you are not sharing the religion. Devil wants you to believe that you are sharing a religion. But let me tell you something. When you go and you share good news to someone, you are sharing Jesus himself and who Jesus is. And do you know what Jesus is? Hope. And if you tell me someone that doesn't need hope, I'll doubt. If you tell someone that person doesn't need love, I'll doubt. So who doesn't need love? So if I understand that when I'm talking about Jesus in a respectful way, when there's the right moment, because God makes perfect moments for him to be discovered. But when I have this understanding that I'm not going to share a religion, but I'm going to a friend and sharing the love that Jesus Christ is, who can't avoid it? So my friend, stop thinking that you're sharing a religion and that's an offensive because, you know, I am at work and, you know, over here, we need to respect other religions. Of course we did. But understand, please, that the Lord has anointed you for a purpose. And the purpose it is to reveal the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is hope. So when you share about the good news, when you share the gospel, you're sharing love. Jesus is the salvation. Who doesn't want to see their family saved? Who doesn't want to see their kids saved? And we're doing mentoring in schools. And they are over there and the parents, they ask for help. Which parents doesn't want to see their kids well, protected? And where can they find this love but in Jesus Christ. So you have, you are the person that was anointed. You are the person who was called. I'm going to read now Ephesians 3. I could just read Ephesians 3, close my book and go home. Because when Paul wrote to Ephesians, he was arrested. But it's pretty much everything we need to know. And I love how in Portuguese, my Bible, I think I closed, but it was saying, Paul reveals the great plan of Jesus Christ. That's the title when he's explaining the chapter 3 on Ephesians. I prefer mine because here in English it says, Paul preach the preacher to the Gentiles. But in Portuguese, that subtitle of this chapter says, Paul reveals the great master plan of Jesus. And that is, and I want to read with you. We're going to read the entire chapter 3 together. And I want to read slowly. I'm not taking too long because I know it's Sunday. And my mother-in-law is making lasagna. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I don't want to take too long today. For this reason, I, Paul, prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was now made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God to the holy apostles and prophets. So a mystery that was not revealed before, Paul is saying that now this mystery was revealed to me, and I am sharing with you a mystery that is now being revealed also to the prophets and to the apostles. In other words, aka me and you. There's a mystery that was revealed to me and you. And which is this mystery? This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs. Did I pronounce it right? Heirs. Okay, loves in the heirs. Okay. The Gentiles are, thank you, together with Israel. Pay attention. What is the mystery that Jesus wanted to reveal? That the Gentiles, the people that were not people, the people that were not Hebrews, the people that were not Jew, the people that were not from Israel, the people who were not called the promised people, now they are members together of one body, and they share together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me. What is the grace that was given to me? Repeat with me. What is the grace? Can you repeat with me, please? That was given to me. And then you put like, was given to me. Yeah. What is the grace that was given to you? To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, I love this, now through what? Thank you. Now through the church. Not through the prime minister, not through the royals, not through the NHS, not through the great, I don't know, what else do you lay your trust upon, but through the church. And I lost over here. I found. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore, do not be discouraged by cause of my suffering for you, which are for your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom is his whole family in heaven and on earth, drives in its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, inside of you, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. And then he finishes, to him who is able, petition. I came singing a song to church in Portis today that says about this. He's able to do immeasurably. He can do much more. Not put much more. He can do so much more than we all could ever ask or imagine, because he works according to his power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Do you understand the power of your calling? You understand why in your family you don't need to be afraid to be the one who shared the good news? Because you are the one. You are the one who met Jesus, the love. And you are the one who can say, look, I found the love. When we share good news, we're not sharing a religion, but I'm saying to a friend, saying to my family, you know there is love. And if you can't comprehend my words, I'm going to share with you the good news. It's the things that are working inside of me. Because like we read here in Ephesians, there is a work that is happening right now in my inner being. And that's the calling that is upon me and you. Can you go back to Isaiah 61 so we can finish? Isaiah 61. I'll just change the order so we can finish. No problem. No problem at all. I can open just over here. Brilliant. Woohoo! If we change the order, it may give us a better understanding. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because I have a purpose, I was prepared for this purpose. Because you have a calling, because you were called to be the great messenger of all the time. The best WhatsApp. I don't know what is the strategy that God will give you. I know he will. And I know you are the person that was called by God not to keep your mouth closed. Maybe you're going to have to find out the right strategies. I am over there doing mentoring. I'm not 24 hours preaching. I need to have strategy. I need to be wise. But every time I have an opportunity, I quote the Bible. And I say, you know, there's a story of a man who was talking to a kid, and I'm allowed to. The school knows I can do that, so I'm not doing anything illegal. And one day, one of the kids were He could not find on himself anything valuable. So he said, you know, I heard a story once about a man who found a treasure on the field. And he went and he kept that treasure secretly hidden. He went, he sold everything, and he bought that piece of land. This story says that there's something special in you. So that kid now believes there's something special in him. And I use the Bible for that. And I'm not worried if he will become a believer or not. I have a desire in my heart, but that's not my, I don't convince anyone. My calling and your calling is to reveal the good news. Father, help us. As we go through Isaiah 61, we fully understand that there is a calling upon us. We are going to work, we are going to supermarkets, we are going to hospitals, we are going to so many different places, not because we have to, but because you are sending us. There's no purpose for us to be here. Why would be us on this place that is so chaotic if there was not a purpose? Why would I put Elena and Tiago in places that are challenging for them if there was not a purpose? We are here on this earth to reveal the family we are part of. Thank you, Jesus, because we were called for this purpose. We were anointed for this purpose. And your action within us will complete the work that Jesus started in us. So help us. If any one of us is feeling afraid of sharing, if anyone else is feeling not capable of sharing, may we have the understanding that your Holy Spirit is working inside of us. And we will never be left alone. Thank you for your work inside of us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Just to finish, one testimony. Yesterday, this weekend, we had our church in Brazil. We had our yearly conference. And it was happening in four different cities simultaneously. So it was happening in São Paulo, Uberlândia, Goiânia, and Salvador. And one of the preachers invited, he works with church planting in Africa. And one of his crew teams went to plant a church in Madagascar. And in Madagascar, if you probably know Madagascar because of the movie. So he said there's no of any of those animals there are in Madagascar, but there is the King Julian. Because there is people who think they are completely, completely authority in a foolish way. And when his team got there to work, start working, his area, they have over 500 villages. And they were not allowed to be there for a while, but then they got the permission and the people started to giving up because it was really difficult. So one of the guys, he called the manager in Brazil, this guy was sharing, said, what do I do? He said, well, what God is telling you to do? He said, well, God's telling me to stay here in Madagascar and share the good news. So you stay and you do that. And after a few years, he already shared to over 200 of those 500 villages. And he had established that by 2028, all the 500 villages will hear the word of God. What are our targets? What are your targets to share? You have targets for everything. You have targets financially. You have targets to save money for this. You have targets of saving money for that. You have targets to lose weight. You have targets to put on weight. You have targets to save for the marriage. You have time to save for the kids. What are the targets that God has given you to share the good news? I leave us with that question. God bless us.